This morning, you may have woken up and seen that it was a beautiful day. You may really enjoy the fact of how gorgeous and beautiful it was. I love days like this. It's not too hot. It's not cold. Praise the Lord. The day is bright. It's sunny. We got beautiful clouds in the sky. I love days like this. I don't know about, does anybody love days like this? Yeah, we love days like this. We can go out. You might be thinking about a picnic today, or maybe going to the park or going somewhere that's just a nice time to get outside. All right. I think somehow they got out of presentation mode. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Well, we love these beautiful spring days, and we would love for every day to be like this, but I'm going to talk to you a little bit about barriers. Because sometimes not every day is a nice spring, beautiful, wonderful day, even though we would love for it to be. Now, I don't know about you, but do you know who Bob the Builder is? Right? I mean, come on, let me see. Bob the Builder. Okay, because let's go to that slide, because if you don't know, you might have seen this one. If you have children or grandchildren, surely you've seen this. This has been a very popular children's show for many, many years. Sadly, it's no longer, but we can see all the reruns. For decades, Bob the Builder has been very popular with young kids. My kids don't watch it anymore, even though I wish they do, because I like Bob the Builder, okay? I do. I admit it. I like it. And if even the kids weren't around, I'd still watch it. One thing I love about Bob the Builder is, one, he's a happy guy. And those are happy people in Bob the Builder. And the sky is really, really blue, and the grass is really, really green. It's like the greenest green you can get, and the clouds are always puffy and nice, well-formed. The artist does a great, great job. It's bright colors. It's sunny in Bob the Builder land. It's just a beautiful place. Like, I'm like, Lord, I'd like to go live in Bob the Builder land. They're happy people. Life is good. And you know, they have problems, but the problems are always solved at the end of the episode. They're always solved. You know, it's always done with, and everybody's happy again, and everything is good. That's life in Bob the Builder land. So I like Bob the Builder land, and sometimes I just kind of wish I could just go there some days, you know, where by the end of the day, it's all good. Sunny skies, beautiful grass green, everything's just beautiful. So wouldn't we like all like that? Well, it's great to have no problems, or all of our problems are solved, and where life feels great, and I love those kind of days. But there's other days, right? There's other days where it seems like the clouds come in and they don't leave. It's not just a little passing thunderstorm. It's something that seems almost to come to stay. They kind of seem to be bearing down on us. Sometimes it seems like when we're going along in our pathway of life that we hit barriers, obstacles, things that hinder us from going forward, ones that we can't seem to get past and don't allow us to continue down our pathway. What do we do, right? What do we do when that happens in life? Because inevitably it does. Life is not always bright and shiny and beautiful. There are obstacles and barriers that come along the way. What kind of mindset do we need to have? What kind of mindset do we need to adopt? The scriptures, thankfully, yes, they do. They do give us guidance. They give us help because they too know that there are obstacles and barriers that come up in our way. Scriptures points us to people, people of faith, people who have gone before us, people that we can look to and see how they faced great obstacles in their lives, encouraging us to think about them and what they dealt with and what they went through and how God moved in their lives. We can look at chapter 11 of Hebrews, and we can talk about the many saints of old. There's many people listed there. And of course, at the end of the list, it says there was many more that are not listed here but could be listed here, because we just don't have time in all the pages here to talk about all those people, all those saints that were faithful and had to overcome great obstacles in their lives. I think of Joseph being one of those that was mentioned in chapter 11. You know about Joseph. He's an easy example to look into because, my goodness, he faced a whole lot of obstacles. I mean, just look at what he faced. He had this great dream from God that his brothers and his family, they would bow down to him, that he would have this great authority. His brothers didn't like that. He was the youngest, and they thought he was full of himself. They actually got angry at him because God had great favor on his life. His father even favored him the most. And they grew bitter, and they sold him in slavery. Remember that? Remember that great obstacle of life? Like, uh-oh, one day you're the favorite of your father. You have these great dreams of this great level that you're going to rise to, and now you're sold into slavery. Didn't stop there. Because when you thought things couldn't get worse, they did. Because while in slavery, we know what happens. He's accused of a crime that he didn't commit. And he's sent to prison. Oh, there's no trial. There's no rights. There's nothing he can do. He's a slave. So once the accusation comes, he's in jail. He's put in jail. So it does get worse. It gets much, much worse. And even as he's praying and seeking God, he's sharing, he's ministering, he's doing things to other people, he seems to be forgotten that he's going to live his whole life out in prison. He can't do anything to get out. So somehow, though, Joseph keeps his integrity. He keeps his integrity. He keeps his relationship right before God. He even serves others while in prison. He has a servant's heart to bless other people. How does he do that? But he keeps his focus. And even when it seems like he is forgotten, God remembers him and draws him out of the prison and draws him out of that place and puts him in a place where he could not have put himself. He never could have put himself. God puts him in a place of high, high authority. And he knows that it's God. It had to be God. It was only God. It was nothing he could do. And God made that very, very clear. He even says it to his brothers when his brothers are afraid for their lives. He says to them in Genesis 50, 20, he says this. He says, "You intended to harm me," to his brothers. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Joseph saw very clearly the hand of God in his life. Even the being sold into slavery, even the going to prison, he saw God's hand in it all. And he said, "God, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That I'm here now in this place of authority that God told me I would be. I just didn't know how I'd get there. I just didn't know it would be so much pain and so much suffering and so much difficulty and so many obstacles in the way. I didn't know that part. And if I did, I'd probably run to the hills, run as far as I could run. But God brought me through. He brought me through." And Joseph did not lose his integrity. He didn't curse God like people, friends have told Job to do. He didn't turn his back. He kept his integrity. Joseph is an amazing example to think about, as the scriptures tell us to do. Think about people like Joseph. Think about these saints that have gone before us and what they did, the things they had to endure, the struggles they had, the obstacles they faced, the barriers that where they hit the wall and they couldn't go forward. That what they were facing was way, way bigger than them. There's no way Joseph couldn't get himself out of the prison, but God had a plan to get him out of prison. Amen. So Scripture instructs us to look at Joseph and others commended for their faith. Scripture tells us this is a great cloud of witnesses. They're witnesses who witness to the faithfulness of God, who help people overcome great obstacles. We read in Hebrews 12, instructions for us. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Do we have that scripture? It says this. It says, therefore, right? Whenever there's a therefore, we need to know why it's therefore, right? It's instruction to us. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. It says, this is a command. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Have you ever been tempted to lose heart? You ever been tempted to grow weary? Well, I know I'm speaking to everyone here because we all have. We all have. We all are tempted to lose heart, to grow weary, and where it seems like things are just too difficult. Things are just too hard. Isn't there an easy button? Isn't there the Office Depot easy button that we could just hit and things would just manifest in wonderful ways and just happen and take place? I mean, there's got to be, right? We live in a world of convenience. Certainly there's convenience when it comes to our personal lives and all the issues that we face. But the Bible says we're running a race. And it's not a short race, right? The kind that you could just run down the street and be as fast as you can, and you might be out of breath, but it's okay. You made it. No, it's a long race. It's a really, really long race. It's one that's not quickly won. But it's one that takes a lifetime to run. A lifetime. And we're not done yet. We're not done yet. No one finishes the race, even if you run a marathon, nobody finishes a race at the 25-mile mark. Because even if you're tired, even if you're weary, even if you're worn down, you're not finished at the 25-mile mark. It may feel good to stop, it may feel right to stop, but you have to continue to press on to the end to truly finish the race. So we keep running. We keep going. Even in latter years. If you're in latter years, just know there's a race to finish, and you have not yet finished the race. It says Jesus is our example. He's our example. We look to him and see the example. Consider him. Consider him who endured. Consider him who was opposed by many people. Consider him who was scorned and shamed. Consider him. Consider him who heard from the Father the very purpose for his life and said, that is where I'm going, and nothing will keep me from the cross. Consider. What is your purpose in life? Why are you here on this earth? What is God saying to you? That there's more. There is more. There's more for you. There's more for me. And there's a purpose to go and in God to keep going. So Scripture exhorts us to run this race and run it to the end. You know, even sometimes as we run, we don't always feel strong. Sometimes we feel very weak. Sometimes we need to walk. Sometimes we need to walk and slow our pace down. Sometimes we need to rest. Sometimes we need to drink water and refresh and renew. Because there's times when we need that. We need those times where we can even reflect and think about the journey that we're on and the race that we're running. And to consider what it is that God's doing in our lives, and that what our life is all about. Our pace can change, but the goals of our lives do not. The things that God has for us stay the same. So we go forward with God. Anything that we do in life, we want to go forward with God. We want to grow in Him. We're called to grow in Him and see our purpose accomplished in life. So often when we face things in life that want to cause us to stop the race or to stop running or to consider quitting and giving up, again, the Bible says, look to Jesus. Look to him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We must have him. So we need him every day. We know that. He's our daily bread. In our spiritual walk, we know that we're not strangers to struggles. And we know that Jesus knows that. We are not strangers to temptation, to trials, to spiritual attacks. We're not going to go without struggles and betrayals, things that hurt, tiredness and discouragement. Those things are going to happen. They're normal. So just understand, when we experience those things, we're very normal. We're experiencing the normal Christian life because they happen to each and every one of us. And yet, we can grow. We can grow through each one of these times, these moments, these barriers that we face, keeping our eyes ahead. And so, as I said, there's times we re-examine, there's times we think, there's times we pray, we go to God, and we talk to Him. In fact, these times where we hit barriers, where it feels like we hit the wall, they're not times to give up. In fact, they're times to go forward, to press into God, to spend more time with Him, to spend more time in prayer, meditation. They should cause us to increase, to not become passive. Because that's a temptation. The temptation is when we hit struggles, when we hit a wall, to give up and to be passive. And there's a difference between passivity and rest. They're not the two of the same thing. Rest is good, but passivity is not. Passivity is in line with giving up. It wants to give up. But nothing is found or gained in passivity. You know, children often have a habit when looking for lost items. And we discover this in our own home. It probably was true when I was young. I don't know, it was probably true when you were young. But you know, when looking for lost items, children often look very quickly, look in the immediate place where they think it is, and when it's not there, they're done. They're like, my job is done. I didn't find it. Mom, find it for me. Dad, where is it? Right? They're calling in the cavalry after just like 2 seconds of looking for the lost item. That's like a kid thing, right? Maybe it's an adult thing too. I don't know. Maybe you guys look at each other. Y'all guys figure that out. Maybe it's an adult thing too. But we know if you're going to find the lost object, it's going to take some perseverance, right? Because it's lost and it's not where you thought it would be. It's somewhere else. And you could blame somebody in the house for misplacing it. Oh, you could go through there and you could circle that wagon round and round again, but are you doing any good? No, you're not doing any good. There's just friction in the house because it was supposed to be there. And why is it not there? Okay, maybe I'm just speaking about my house. I don't know. But with our kids, we coach them, right? We coach them and say, okay, you didn't find it, but how long did you really look? So we send them back to look more, to look further. They say, you haven't done your job. Your job is not complete. Okay, this is not the time to come to us to do your job. You need to go back out and really look for these things. Turn over stones. Look around in a real way. But what are we doing? We're coaching our kids to have perseverance, to not give up easily. Don't give up at the drop of a hat. Don't do that because you'll never find what you're going to find. You may be seeking, but if you only seek for 2 seconds, you're not going to find most often what you're looking to find. So you need to have some perseverance, some seeing it through, right? I don't know. Does this ever happen to us? You know, we won't find it unless we press forward. We need to develop perseverance. Do you think God ever does this for us? Do you think He ever tells us, no, your job is not done. You haven't pressed in far enough. You haven't looked hard enough. You haven't sought hard enough. You need to do more. Don't just come to me and say, God, find it for me. I'll be sitting right here. I'll be resting. What happens when God says, no, go back out. Your job is not done. Have some perseverance. Have some seeking, have some going after it. Do you think God ever does that? Do you think God ever would even put obstacles in our way to create a situation that we have to seek harder and go after Him more? Think about that for a minute. What does the Lord do? He doesn't want us to give up so easily. And too many Christians, we can do this. We can give up too easily. We're running our race, but we come to a barrier. And the barriers that are common to the Christian life, and we stop. We stop. We don't like barriers. And sometimes, honestly, we don't like persevering. But we do know this. We experience in life, you know, when we don't persevere, when we come to this barrier in the road, and those who do not persevere, they see the blockage, they see the barriers, and so often, they'll turn around. Ah, there's a barrier in the road. Let's just turn around. Let's just go back. Go back where we came from. Or maybe even taking an unnecessary detour that was never meant for you to take. I don't know if we have that third picture. Do we have that third picture? But you know, if there's a big rock in the road, you know, we may be tempted to say, well, let me get off the beaten path. Let me go into the desert places. And sometimes, as Christians, sometimes we'll end up in desert places trying to find our way through the cactus and through the lizards and the Gila monsters and all this kind of stuff. And that was a detour that we were never meant to go. And sometimes it can be a very painful detour in life. You know, God puts detours in our way sometimes. Sometimes we have to theologically just understand that, because sometimes there's pathways that we're on we don't need to be on. And he actually is putting warning signs and things in our way to stop and consider and say, this is not the way. You need to pray and ask me where you need to be, what the pathway you need to be on, because God wants, he wants to bring you back to the pathway that you need to be on. And so sometimes God puts obstacles away because we don't need to be on this pathway. We need to be on his pathway, and this is not his pathway. We need to change. We need to come to him and talk to him and say, God, why is this obstacle in the way? Is this you or is this the enemy? Because sometimes it's God putting obstacles and barriers in our way. Other times, it is the enemy. Because we're walking with God. We're on the pathway with the Lord. And the enemy is putting barriers in our way. He's trying to hinder us. He doesn't want us to fulfill our destiny. He doesn't want us to reach and do the things that we're called to do. He doesn't want us to be who we're called to be. He puts barriers in our way. So the enemy is dirty, he's nasty, he's ugly. And yet, God will allow the enemy to put barriers in our way. You know, but it's not a place to give up. It's not a place to throw in the towel. Really, so often barriers are a place for us to persevere. Barriers are a place for us to pray, to press into God. Barriers are a place for us to learn our authority in Christ, to fight spiritual warfare, to persevere in our struggle. It's a place where we need to learn how to have the victory, to get the victory. Because if we haven't had the victory, we need to press on to get the victory. It's a place where we find healing and wholeness. Because sometimes it's places of barriers and struggles that we'll do things that we won't do. We'll cry out to God in ways that we won't cry out otherwise. We'll get a little bit desperate. We'll get a little bit hungry. We'll go after God in ways that we wouldn't otherwise unless we actually had some resistance. Because that resistance is meant to actually strengthen us. And so the way we see barriers is very important, the way we look at them. And we need to pray, God, is this of you? Is this of the enemy? What is this? How do I deal with this? Because generally, barriers are going to be bigger than us. They're bigger than us, right? We can't handle it. Otherwise, we would go right on and break on through. But it's bigger than us. But I'm telling you, barriers in life are really significant. They're significant places for each of our lives. And sometimes, they're places where we remember what God did for us when we broke through that barrier long time ago or years in the past. We remember what God did for us. They were significant times in our lives. So don't always think that barriers are a bad thing. The way we look at barriers matters. Our mindset matters. See, that's simply to say our mindset about things matters. Because the greatest places of growth in your life, they'll probably come right at those moments of barriers where you hit the wall and you can't go any further. But then there's something that needs to happen for you to be able to go on and continue on in this growth process with God. The greatest places of growth often happen when we hit barriers. It can be painful. It can require great effort and great attention on our part. But what is needed is growth. We need to grow. We need to grow. And I mentioned it, but just say, passivity, indifference, and lethargy will leave us stuck. We don't want that spirit to come upon us, because when we're, tiredness is one thing, but a spirit of weariness or a spirit of tiredness is another thing. And that can take over our lives. Because, you know, if you're tired, you can get rest, right? I mean, last night I was tired and I fell asleep a little bit early, but it allowed me to get up early because I felt refreshed this morning. But I was tired last night, but I could get rest. But a spirit of weariness, you go to bed tired, you wake up tired. Every day, you're tired. Every week, you're tired. You're weary because your soul is weary. See, it's not just a state of the physical being. It's a spirit that's upon you. We gotta say, Lord, I got to get rid of this. I don't want a spirit of weariness, because that will dominate my whole life. And that will keep me from breaking through any barrier. Why does the enemy want to put that on us? Because he knows that if you're in a spirit of weariness, you can't break barriers. You won't even try. You'll just sit there by the rock that is hindering you. And you'll fall asleep, or you'll grow weary, or think about all the bad things. Because mindset matters. Because oftentimes, one of the reasons where people don't go forward in life is mindset. And one of the mindsets is to sit by that rock, that barrier, and just look at how big it is and be impressed with how heavy and massive and hard and difficult that thing is. And just look at the giant that's before you and go, oh yeah, can't go through, can't get around. And just think about all the difficulties of this problem or challenge that is set before you. You see, this is what happens sometimes to Christians. This is what happens to us sometimes in life. We get so impressed with the problem that's before us. And it feels like it's undefeatable. The wall is unbreakable. We can't go past it. We can't get through it. And it's a very defeating place to be. But what do other Christians do who are able to overcome obstacles in life? What do they do? They come to a different conclusion, right? They see the same obstacle, they see the same problems, they see the same wall, and they can see that it's formidable and big and it's kind of gigantic and all that kind of thing, but their mindset is different. Because the mindset is one that this, though big, can be overcome. This will not keep me from my pathway with God. This will not keep me from my destiny with what God wants to do and work in my life. There's runners who see the obstacles ahead, but they know that it can be overcome. They know. Even runners who've run for a while, they know what a second wind is all about. And sometimes, even when you're running, and I do know what this is like, because I've run long distance, is when you do feel tired, you feel like, I'm not going to make this run today. I think I'm just going to quit. It's amazing, though, if you will continue. You may not be going at the fastest speed, but if you will continue, it's amazing that as you've trained your body will find its second wind. And when you find your second wind, all of a sudden you can pick up your pace again and finish the race. See, it's a mindset that you know that this obstacle, no matter how big, can be overcome. The Bible says, look to Jesus. Look to him. Don't look to the obstacle. Don't look to how big it is and how mighty it is and how strong it is and how undefeatable. Don't look and don't start giving great attributes to the rock that hinders me. Give great attributes to the rock in which you stand, Jesus Christ. Give great attributes to him, because the more you think about him and how he overcame and how he said it is finished and how we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the more we think about that, the more we're on our way to overcoming our obstacles. There's something about our mindset that's really, really crucial in whatever we face in life. So we must look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And he knows something about overcoming. And the Spirit of God is a spirit of revelation and a spirit of help. Because when we need revelation, we need the Spirit of God to give us revelation, to see things that we don't see, to open our eyes and realize what we don't realize, and to give us the help that we need. So prayer is crucial. Our prayer life is crucial. Too often I see people at the rock and their disappointments and their obstacles in life, and sometimes they stop praying. That's hopelessness. Well, you just stop praying. You stop talking to God because you don't even think God has an answer. You don't even think God can overcome whatever that may be. Don't let hopelessness sit in your heart and become prayerless, because prayer is crucial. Your conversations with God is crucial. And you can tell God how frustrating it is to be in those moments where you're at a barrier that you cannot overcome. But listen to Him and what He wants to say to you, because He has something very important to say to you. We need prayer. We need godly, wise counsel. We need to hear from other people who hear from God, because sometimes we're not hearing too well from God. I mean, I don't know. I enter those times of life where I'm not hearing too well from God, but I can go talk to somebody who I know is faithful in the Lord, and they hear from God, and I can say, hey, can you pray for me? And are you hearing anything from God? Because I would like to hear something from the Lord, and I'm not hearing too well right now. And sometimes that's our mindset. Sometimes that's our attitudes, that we're not hearing too well from the Lord. We need the Word of God. We need the instruction of the Word as it leads us and guides us and directs us. We need His truth in moments where sometimes we're believing something that's not true. And we need to hear His Word. You know, we can feel down in any given moment in life. We can feel down. And when we hit those barriers, we get those feelings of feeling really down. But don't stay there. And one thing that we know, it's about that second wind. That second wind is, even when we feel like we're not going to make it, don't stop. Don't stop. Because that second wind is coming. I can't tell you how many times in life where I've had struggles. And I like to walk. I like to walk and pray. I like to go walk in the woods so I can pray out loud too. And nobody will think I'm too crazy. But nowadays, I realize you can just put something in your ear and people think you're talking to somebody. Well, I'm talking to God, you know. I'm talking to God. But I can tell you, there's been some walks. Now, I walk for miles. I walk for miles. I've walked around a small city, but I've walked around a whole city before just praying. And I can tell you, sometimes when I left, I felt really bad. I felt really crummy. I felt like just things weren't going well in my life. But as I prayed, as I sought God, I mean, I've just had those moments where I've prayed and I even circled around and walked for miles talking with God. And I can tell you, the way I came back is not the way I left, because God was doing something in me as I was praying. And hope was rising up in me. And I realized I wasn't alone. And though I may have felt a certain way, that was not necessarily the truth. It was just a feeling. So I needed God. I needed God to help redirect my perspective, to redirect my ideas of things and how I was seeing life, and to refocus and reframe it for me to show, wait a minute, God, you see this much differently than I do. And thanking Him for changing what was happening on the inside of me so many times. And I thank God. So I know if I come to another time like that, I know, just remember, Mark, the way you feel right now is not necessarily the truth. Let me just go spend some time with Jesus. I can remember a time, actually, I was praying over a situation. I was seeing obstacles in the way. I was seeing barriers and things that were frustrating me and I was finding difficult. I'm like, Lord, I don't know how to deal with this. I don't know what to do here. And it's kind of like, here's some obstacles in the way. And I was realizing, God, I know some things need to change. And then I prayed, God, what needs to change? And what was God's response? God's response was, you do. You. Then went back to my prayer and said, okay, God, let me pray again. Let me pray again. I have these obstacles. I have these difficulties. And I have these things that I don't like. And they seem to be hard. And it's frustrating. But I knew what God was saying. God was saying I needed to grow. The obstacles, yeah, they were big to me. They weren't big to Him. But what needed to happen is I needed to grow. I don't know. Have you ever had that experience? When you were little, remember the playground that had the monkey bars? you were little, and it was a big deal to climb up the monkey bars, grab hold, and when you look down, it was really far. It was really far. But you were brave, and eventually you got up on the monkey bars, and you made your way across the monkey bars. And maybe you fell, but you were brave, and you got back up again. But it was a big deal to get up on the monkey bars, and it was really far down, and you were kind of scared at first. But have you ever gone back as an adult to those same monkey bars on that same playground and gone up to those monkey bars and reached up without leaving your feet and just grabbing the handles on the monkey bars?
I don't think it works for tall
people. Okay. I've had this experience. I'm sorry that you haven't. I've had that experience of going back to the playground and going like, wow, this used to be a big deal as a kid. And I just reach up and, oh, this is easy now. This is so easy. You know, that's about growth. Because what needed to happen? You see, the only difference between me as a kid and me as an adult is I grew. And now the monkey bars are easy. Of course, if I lift my feet, that'd be another issue altogether. But what I'm saying is so often what we think is so hard in the moment, is so difficult in the moment. You know, God wants to kind of put it back in us and says, here's the reality. This is not as big as you think. But the issue here is actually you. Not that you're a bad person or not that you're a terrible person. It's not that at all. It's not a shaming thing. It's just the fact that you need to grow. But as you grow, you'll be able to just step over that next obstacle and continue on in your walk with God. See, obstacles are actually places of growth. So if our mindset and we see it in such a way and we frame it in such a way, we'll start to realize that this is not the impossible Great Wall of China. But it actually is something that can be overcome. So I pray that way. I don't know about you, but I pray that way now. I didn't used to. But when I'm facing difficulties and hardships and troubles and things that are beyond me, I say, Lord God, help me grow. Help me grow. Because we want God just to make it easy. Make it easy. Move the mountains. Do this. Do that. So yes, there's a place for that. And there's a place for God to fight against our enemies and fight battles for us. And yes, absolutely. But there's a thing and a place that really, when we're facing obstacles, this is a moment in time to grow. So my prayer has become more often, Lord God, help me to grow. Because I cannot do what you're calling me to do if I stay where I'm at. Help me to grow, Lord. Well, a lot of it has to do with how we view things, how we view the barriers in life, our mindsets. The call is to really have a growth mindset where we can overcome, we can bust through barriers. We don't do it on our own strength, we do it with God. And God enables us to do things that we cannot do on our own. And it's amazing what we can do with God. Our focus really matters. It matters a whole lot. And what we need, of course, is we need God. We need his unchanging truth, his unchanging character, his love, his care, his kindness over our lives, his strength. We need him. We always need him. And we need God to help refocus us when we simply need to see things in ways that we're not seeing them, with perspectives that we don't maybe presently have. Spending time with him and getting his view on things. So I guess what I want to say, and I know there's more to say because I feel like this is going to be... The Lord has more to say, and I really feel like he's already gotten me what I'm going to be preaching on next week. But just simply to say, it's like for today, Lord God, renew our mind, renew us. Renew us for your purpose and your destiny that you have for us. So it's like where things just seem like impossible, they're not with God. We always come back to that truth. And it's not based on how we feel. It's never based on how we feel. And if feelings are an obstacle right now, spend time with the Lord. Now, the obstacle still may be there, but the way you feel on the inside will change. And that is crucial. Because how we approach the obstacles and difficulties in life is so much about what is on the inside of us and how we can handle it and approach them. So we need God. We need His unchanging truth, His grace, His mercy, His love. And the good news is when you see somebody who is going through something you went through years ago, and you know that God brought you through, and you know that God strengthened you and helped you, and you see now looking back where God has brought you from, you can testify to that person and says, you know, I know something about that. I've been there. It's not as hard as you think. It looks daunting. You feel really bad right now. But press into God. God has the answer. The answer is in Him. If you find Him and know Him and spend time with Him, He's going to help you through. He's going to lift you up. He's going to help do things on the inside of you as you give yourself over to God to become the person you're called to be. You're going to grow. And as you grow, what seems like monkey bars to a small child will become something quite easy to overcome. Don't give up. Don't give up. Just press into Him.